Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 FY 2023 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi, General Manager, Investor Relations for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the Q3 FY 2023 results conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we start the call, a review of the operations for the company for quarter ended December 31, 2022. For the third quarter of FY 2023, Glenmark's consolidated revenue from operations was at rupees 34,639 million, as against rupees 31,734 million in the corresponding quarter last year, recording a growth of 9.2%. For nine months of FY 2023, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at rupees 96,164 million, as against rupees 92,858 million, recording a growth of 3.6% year-on-year. We'll start with the formulation business, and we'll start off with India. Sales from the formulation business in India for the third quarter of FY 2023 was at rupees 10,745 million, as against rupees 10,069 million in the previous corresponding quarter, recording growth of 6.7%. India business contribution to the consolidated revenue was 31% in Q3 of FY 2023 compared to 32% last year. As per IQVIA Q3 FY 2023 data, Glenmark's India formulation business continues to record strong growth of 11%. As per the IQVIA data, Glenmark's India business continues to be ranked 14th with a market share of 2.2%. During the quarter, Glenmark's India business significantly improved its share in key therapeutic areas of cardiac and dermatology. As per the IQVIA data, cardiac market share for Glenmark increased to 5.37% from 4.85% last year, and the dermatology market share also went up to 8.15% from 8.05% last year. Glenmark's market share in other key therapy areas also remains strong. The company's share in respiratory market was 5.34%, and in the diabetes market was 2.38%. As per the IQVIA data for MAT December 2022, Glenmark is ranked second in dermatology, third in respiratory, and was ranked actually second in the third quarter in respiratory. Glenmark is ranked fifth in the cardiac segment and 14th in the diabetes segment. Company continues to have nine brands in the IPM top 300 brands of the country on the basis of IQVIA MAT 2022, December 2022 data. The company launched multiple new products during the quarter and continued to gain share in some of its key launches across segments. In the third quarter, Glenmark launched the fixed-dose combination of phenylic gliptin, pioglitazone, and metformin SR under the brand name Zita Pyomet. This is a novel and affordable FDC to help improve glycemic control amongst adults with high HbA1c and high insulin resistance. It also improves adherence through a single pill. Earlier in FY 2023, Glenmark also launched sitagliptin and its fixed-dose combinations, followed by lobiglitazone and its FDCs of phenylic gliptin, including combinations with pioglitazone and dapagliflozin, emphasizing its focus on the diabetes segment. In the cardiac segment, Glenmark recently launched sacubitril plus valsartan under the brand name SacuV for the treatment of heart failure. This combination belongs to the class angiotensin receptor neprilysin inhibitor. This drug helps reduce the risk of cardiovascular-related death and hospitalization. The company continues to have a healthy pipeline of differentiated products, it will launch in the market going forward. For India consumer care business, the primary sales for the GCC business, the consumer care business was in Q3 was rupees 431 million with a growth of 16%, which was mirrored by strong secondary growth of 13%. For the nine months of FY 2023, the GCC business revenue stands at rupees 1,634 million with a YTD growth of 34%. Our flagship brand, Candid Powder, delivered a revenue growth of 9% in Q3 and about 38% in the 9 months. Our La Shield portfolio delivered strong growth of 36% in the third quarter and about 80% in 9 months. We've also expanded the La Shield product range through La Shield Moisturizer. Finally, Scalpe Plus portfolio recorded 12% growth in Q3 and about 13% growth in 9 months of FY 2023. Moving on to North America. The North America business registered revenue of rupees 8,373 million, which was about $102.3 million for the third quarter of FY 2023, as against rupees 7,533 million, which was about $94.8 million for the second quarter of FY 2023, which essentially translates into a quarter-on-quarter growth of 11%. North America business contributed 24% to the consolidated sales in Q3 of FY 2023. In the third quarter of FY 2023, Glenmark received final approval for Nicardipine hydrochloride capsules. Glenmark also received final approval and launched sodium phenylbutyrate tablets, USP 500 mg. In addition, Glenmark also launched fingolimod capsules, 0.5 mg, and a new pack size of olmesartan tablets. Glenmark filed one ANDA in the third quarter and plans to file 6-8 applications in the forthcoming quarter. Further, in Q3, Glenmark also reached a settlement with Pfizer for axitinib tablets, 1 mg and 5 mg, the generic version of their Inlyta tablets. Glenmark had previously announced that it had received a tentative approval by the U.S. FDA for their axitinib tablets on November 30, 2020. As per the IQVIA data for the 12-month period ending December 2022, the Inlyta tablets market achieved annual sales of approximately $657.1 million. Glenmark's marketing portfolio consists of 178 generic products authorized for distribution. The company currently has 46 applications pending in various stages of the approval process, of which 21 are Para IV filings. Moving on to Europe. Glenmark's Europe operations revenue for the third quarter of FY 2023 was rupees 4,932 million, as against rupees 3,807 million, recording a growth of 29.5%. The Europe business contributed 14% to the total revenues in Q3 FY 2023, compared to 12% in Q3 FY 2022. The strong European business growth was driven by markets in both Western Europe and Central Eastern Europe. Key markets in Central Eastern Europe, such as the Czech and Poland, recorded strong secondary sales double-digit growth during the quarter. Growth was driven by uptick in base business as well as new product launches in the CE markets in the third quarter. Western European business also clocked a high double-digit growth for Q3, with markets like the U.K., Netherlands, and Germany all growing significantly. In the U.K., the overall pharma market witnessed some supply disruptions, which helped Glenmark gain additional share through continued supply to key customers. Also, six new products were launched in the Western European markets. Growth was also led by our respiratory portfolio, which continues to do well in all the European markets. Key brands such as Ryaltris and Salmex have gained market share both in volume as well as in value across the Central Eastern European markets. The product continues to do well in the Western European markets also through our partner. Tyruko also continues to grow in the Western European market. Moving on to the ROW region, which consists of our Asia, Middle East, Africa, Latin America, and RCIS business. For the third quarter of FY 2023, revenue from the ROW region was rupees 6,541 million, as against rupees 5,348 million for the previous corresponding quarter, recording a growth of 22.3%. ROW business contributed 19% to the total revenues in Q3 FY 2023, compared to 17% in Q3 FY 2022. Glenmark's Russia business recorded secondary sales growth of 26% in value and 3% in units in Q3 versus the same period last year. Strong growth has been driven by all the key brands in the market, including Ryaltris, Montelukast, and Candiderm. Ryaltris continues to gain share and has now been included in the guidelines for Russian Rhinology Society as well. Dimetindene gel, Fenistat, was launched in October 2022, and additional registration approval has been received for the oral drops of this product as well. These two launches will further boost the dermatology segment. As per the IQVIA MAT December 2022 data, Glenmark's Russia business growth was about 15.9% in value terms in line with the overall market. Volume growth was also in line. And amongst the dermatology companies, Glenmark ranks 12th as per the MAT December 2022 data. Amongst the companies present in the expectorant market in Russia, Glenmark continues to maintain a strong position, ranking 2nd as per the MAT December 22 data. Moving on to Asia, amongst the key markets in the Asia region, Malaysia and Philippines continue to record double-digit secondary growth. Certain macroeconomic headwinds are slowly easing out in other key markets like Sri Lanka. However, Myanmar continues to have challenges related to currency depreciation. In the Asia market, dermatology and respiratory are our key therapy areas, contributing to majority of our sales. Rialtris continues to do well in the overall market, and we hold about 15% share in Australia. And our partner in South Korea, Yuan, also launched Rialtris in the third quarter of FY23. The product has already shown a very strong pickup in the market with 30%+ share in the combination market in a very short time span. The Middle East and Africa region recorded close to 30% growth in secondary sales during the third quarter. While the Kenya market continued to be impacted by some instability, Glenmark achieved strong secondary sales in South Africa and Saudi Arabia. On the back of key launches, Glenmark continues to gain scale in other markets of the region, such as the UAE, Uganda and Tanzania. The company has also signed multiple business development deals to further augment the business growth. Latin America witnessed strong growth for the 9 months of FY23. Respiratory again remains a key therapeutic area and a key contributor for Glenmark and its growth in the Latin American markets. Glenmark has a high single-digit market share across the chronic respiratory products in Brazil. It's actually ranked 5th as per the IQVIA MAT data in the covered market for the chronic respiratory segment. And Glenmark is growing faster than the covered market across all the segments in Brazil. And in Mexico as well, which is another key market, secondary sales growth has remained strong, growing at about 15% for Glenmark compared to market growth of 8%. In terms of value, this is as per the IQVIA MAT December 22 data. We'll just give a brief overview of our respiratory key respiratory products, starting with Rialtris. At the end of third quarter, marketing applications for Rialtris have been submitted in 58 countries across the world, while it is commercialized in 23 markets, including major markets like the US, Europe, where we have marketing approval and commercialization in the UK and 10 different markets across Europe, Australia, Russia, South Korea, and South Africa. Glenmark's partner in the EU, Menarini, initiated the commercial launch in the Nordic countries of Denmark, Finland, Sweden, and Norway, and Germany as well in the third quarter, and intends to launch the product in additional European markets in Q4. Our partner in the US, Hikma, has also launched the product. Rialtris is now stocked at all major wholesalers. Discussions are also ongoing with insurance companies to increase coverage for Rialtris. During the third quarter, Glenmark submitted marketing authorization applications for Rialtris in Hong Kong, Morocco. Glenmark received marketing authorization grant for Rialtris in Tanzania and is awaiting approval in other key markets like Brazil, Mexico, Vietnam, etc. Glenmark's partner in mainland China, Grand Pharmaceuticals, aims to complete enrollment for the ongoing phase 3 study in China for Rialtris and submit the marketing authorization by the end of 2023. And Glenmark's partner, Bosch Health, intends to soon launch Rialtris in Canada as well. In terms of other key products, the clinical trial continues for our generic Flovent PMDI product, and we expect to file the ANDA in calendar year 23. And we also plan to file at least one more generic respiratory PMDI in the US in the calendar year 23 and continue our filing momentum beyond that. In terms of our innovative R&D pipeline, we'll cover GRC54276. Which is our HPK1 inhibitor. It is being developed as an orally administered IO adjuvant treatment for patients with solid tumors. So for GRC54276, it's a novel orally active HPK1 inhibitor that demonstrates the excellent standalone efficacy and enhances current immunotherapy efficacy. A phase 1 dose escalation study is ongoing in India. Successful recruitment of patients in cohort 3 was completed in the third quarter of FY23. No dose-limiting toxicities were observed or have been observed till date. IND submission and DCGI submission is planned in the fourth quarter of FY23 to initiate a part 2 combination study of GRC54276 with pembrolizumab and atezolizumab in the US and India. GRC39815 is a ROR gamma T inhibitor and is in the company's respiratory pipeline asset, which is being developed as an inhaled therapy for mild to moderate COPD and currently undergoing phase 1 development in the US. Moving on to our API business, Glenmark Life Sciences. So revenue from operations, including captive sales for GLS, was ₹5,407 million as against ₹5,225 million, recording a year-on-year growth of 3.5%. Generic API revenues increased 5.9% Q-on-Q and increased 1.8% YOY. Regulated market business continued strong growth momentum, with contributions of about 76.5%. CDMO business decreased by 9.6% Q-on-Q, but demand is expected to pick up from Q4 onwards. And multiple projects are either completed or ongoing for capacity expansion across the manufacturing sites on Ankleshwar and Dahej. External sales for GLS in Q3 FY23 were at ₹3,756 million as against ₹3,032 million in Q3 FY22, recording a growth of 23.9% YOY. For further updates on GLS, you can log on to the website glenmarklifesciences.com. Covering Ichnos Sciences, Glenmark has invested ₹1,518 million, which is about $18.5 million. In the third quarter of FY23, compared to ₹1,520 million, which is roughly $20.5 million in the corresponding quarter last year. For the first 9 months of FY23, Glenmark has invested ₹4,880 million, compared to ₹4,987 million, which was invested in the corresponding period in the previous financial year. For further updates on the pipeline and the organization, please log on to the website ichnossciences.com. The pipeline update for the third quarter of FY23 has already been published on the website. Just want to cover our key objectives for FY23. So revenue growth of 6 to 8% during the year, sustaining EBITDA margins at similar levels as they were in FY22, a capex of ₹700 to 800 crores. Strategic priority is to enhance our free cash generation and further debt reduction, and we continue discussions with potential partners for out-licensing of our innovator assets. Some notes to the results before we begin the Q&A. Forex gain for the quarter was at ₹47.6 crores, which is recorded in other income. Total R&D expenditure in the third quarter was around ₹276 crores, which is 8% of total net sales. For the full year, we expect R&D expense to remain around 10%. Investment in Ichnos, as noted earlier, was $18.5 million in Q3 compared to $20.5 million last year. And for 9 months, the investment was $61.3 million in FY23 compared to $67.5 million in 9 months FY22. The exceptional item in consolidated results is net gain of ₹33.9 crores. Arising from the sale of cardiac brand Razel for the India and Nepal business. Net of expenses, trade receivables, inventory write-off, and some other reimbursable expenses, as well as remediation costs related to the Monroe manufacturing site. Inventory for the period ended December 31st, 2022 was at ₹3,010 crores as against ₹2,865 crores as of September 30th, 2022. Receivables was at ₹3,359 crores as against ₹3,328 crores as of September, and payables as of December was ₹2,367 crores compared to ₹2,348 crores. Thus, there was a net working capital increase of about 158 crores as of December 2022 when compared to September 2022. Total asset addition in the quarter was ₹139 crores, of which tangible asset addition was about 107 crores and intangible asset addition was about 32 crores. Gross debt for the period ended December 31st, 2022 was at ₹4,210 crores as against ₹3,954 crores as of September 30th, 2022. Net debt for the period ended December 31st, 2022 was at rupees 2,615 crores as against rupees 2,715 crores as of September 30th, 2022. Hence, the net debt has been reduced by 100 crores as of December when compared to September 2022. Before we open the floor for Q&A, I would just like to introduce the management of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals on the call today. We have with us Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and Global Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Brendan O'Grady, Chief Executive Officer, Global Formulation Business. With that, we would like to open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, everyone. My first question is on the recent divestments of brands in the Indian market. I have two questions tied to this. The first question is that what's the logic behind divesting brands in India when, if I understand correctly, Ichnos is where you are looking to make the capital allocation of Ichnos is going down. The U.S. itself is structurally challenged. So why is this pressing need to divest brands, especially in areas like cardiac and derma? And the question tied to this another would be that the companies which are acquiring these brands, they are the ones which are the challengers to the larger companies in the Indian market in the next 5, 6, 7 years. Why hand them over such brands and so that they might get a platform to launch more brands on these platforms and they might actually threaten companies like yourself only at some point in time. So just wanted to understand this entire brand investment strategy in the Indian market.
So I think, Nikhil, this is Glenn. Our thought process is basically, you know, what we've divested is some of our tail end brands, right, which are not getting actively promoted because of the sales reps concentration going to the core brands, right? And we are re-channelizing that capital into driving our front-end brands much harder, right? So it's more a, you know, portfolio rationalization effort, right? Basis which we have taken out those brands and we are channelizing the capital into our front-end brands and growing them faster.
I understand that, but the point being that why don't treat those brands as cash cows to further your initiatives, whether in India or even certain other differentiated assets globally? I mean, you have taken time and effort to build those brands. I mean, there must be something attractive in those brands. Why some of these smaller companies are kind of pursuing those brands? So I'm just not trying to able to understand that.
Yeah, our scale, we are operating at a very different scale, right? Our India business is almost, you know, a 4,000 crore business, right? Our objectives in terms of brand size and brand potential is very different from a smaller company, right? They would look at it very much, much more differently. We are not able to provide the kind of time and energy involved in growing those brands. And if we just keep them in the portfolio and we don't resource them, over time they're going to keep declining, right? So we think it's better to take that capital and redeploy it into growing the front-end brands much faster. And if you see, I mean, brands like Telma and some of the others that we have, we're still launching new variants. They're still growing at a much, much faster pace, right, than the market, right? And they have there's still a lot of potential that's untapped, right, which we are now going after.
Okay, and how much is the net cash inflow from result divestment?
Yeah, so Nikhil, this is Mani here. So just let me address this a little more comprehensively rather than just, you know. So first and foremost, our net debt in this quarter is 100 crores lower as compared to the previous quarter, okay? And as far as, you have to understand this in a holistic way. So our EBITDA was 620 crores. We had a cash interest of about 94 crores. We had cash tax of about 182 crores. We had asset, basically increase in our assets of 139 crores. Working capital increase was 158 crores. And dividend we paid during this quarter was about 70.5 crores. So all in all, this is about 646 crores. So against our EBITDA, this is higher, okay? As far as Razel goes, we got about 314 crores. But again, as we have put across, around 150 crores is the basically the expenses and the write-down against that. And obviously, there was a remediation cost also, 129 crores. Broadly, I think this should answer your question. So we got 314.
I couldn't catch a number on net cash inflow from the Razel divestment.
So there are two ways you can look at it, 314, and then the various expenses and the write-down on inventories, etc. After that, net gain is 162 crores. But if you look at some of the, if you look at inventory or something of the past, then in that case, we would have got at least about 245 crores, okay, from this transaction as of that point of time, okay?
What is the Monroe remediation cost? I think in the footnote, it's mentioned that Monroe.
Yeah, that is 129 crores.
So the entire consolidated standalone exceptional expense difference is Monroe, basically?
Not standalone. Consolidated is Monroe.
Consolidated standalone difference is Monroe on the exceptional side.
Standalone is basically what you got from sale of Razel and all the expenses attached to that. That is a standalone gain. And at the consolidated level, you spent on Monroe. So the net gain looks at about 33 crores. That's how it is.
Okay. Understood. And one final question is that, I mean, the EBITDA margin guidance continues to be reiterated at FY22 levels. But if I look at 9 months, I'm looking at reported numbers, both FY22 and this year. Last year, it was 18.9%. And this year, 9 months, the company is at 17.4%. So this implies that the ask for fourth quarter is pretty huge. So I'm not sure what I might be missing here.
So Nikhil, we had guided to about 18%-19%. So far, we had about 17.5%. So I believe by the end of Q4, we should be past 18%, okay?
Okay. I mean, Q4 has to be much beyond, much more than 18%, right?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I agree. So we are working towards that. As you can see, quarter to quarter, there has been an improvement. And also, I'm not getting into the adjusted EBITDA side. If you look at it in the one or two quarters, we also have got those Favi inventories, etc., which when adjusted for, they were better. So I'm not purely talking from pure EBITDA. That's all.
Okay. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. Good morning. So Manish said that I couldn't understand the net cash inflow from the JB Chem rosuvastatin divestment. Why there is an inventory write-off in that?
So there will be because there are inventories in the channel. So as of a particular date, you sort of only take as much as you can. Beyond that, you write down. There will be some expiries. So all that comes back, no? So those are the reasons. That reason.
Won't be transferred to JB, is it?
Not all of it, no. Some of them will only go. Not all of them. People take at a particular level only. They don't go for all of it.
So what you're saying is the net realization is 150 crore from.
Yeah. Yeah. 150 crores. Yes. Yeah. No, 162 crores.
162 crores. And similarly, for the transaction on the derma brands, which is 340 crores, would be realized this quarter. So how much would be the cash inflow in that?
So that, again, there will be some amount of expenses, etc. So I would allude to answering that during that call.
So it could be half of it, you think?
Yeah. Maybe a little more than half of that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And also on Monroe, 129 crore, this remediation cost, why is it treated as exceptional item? It's an operational expense, right? I mean, most companies.
No, I wouldn't look at it that way because it's not something that we keep spending regularly, right? These are based on basically, we have to do needful to do regulatory action, right? It's not something that on a year-on-year basis, I will keep on getting this, right? So this is coming up at based on that you have to remediate your site. So you're spending on that. So that's why it's an exceptional item.
No, I mean, it is a one-time expense, I understand, but this is not exceptional, right? This is part of operation.
No, but you don't get these every quarter, no, or every year, no. And that too, this, you have to remediate the site for a couple of quarters and it ends there. That's why. So people come to clearly know what it is, no, right? Otherwise, if I put it up, then you will ask me the next question, why is it higher? My expenses are higher. So I have to respond to that. So I made it very clear. I put it, how you look at it is differently, but I have to put it separately. And it is an exceptional item because it's not something that I'm going to have every quarter or every year. Okay? So therefore, it clearly comes to the, for a person who is looking at the financial statement, very clear that this has happened.
Okay. And on the US sales, there is an increase quarter on quarter. We had import alert at the Baddi site. So how should we, is the impact already there and how should we see revenues for the fourth quarter in the US?
Yeah, so this is Brendan speaking. The Baddi impact is already already inputted into our thinking. So we don't expect any further impact as far as our guidance. But I mean, if you think about the US quarter two was better than quarter one, quarter three was better than quarter two. And we expect quarter four to be slightly better or in line with quarter three. So, you know, we see the U.S. business is certainly recovering and about $100 million business, give or take a quarter, as we go forward.
Okay. And any outlook on, you know, how should we think about it for FY24? Given, you know, we had Monroe, which is still sort of under, you know, it's not cleared from a regulatory perspective.
Right. So, you know, going forward again, you know, we expect, you know, low to mid single digit growth going forward. I think we'll see the quarter on quarter things look strong for the business. And, you know, we'll see how things turn out with new product launch and so forth. But we do see recovery in the U.S. business. And as we bring Monroe back online, which we expect to do later this calendar year, then that will even add to the growth in the U.S.
Okay, thank you. And then join back.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Just the first one on Europe and ROW, I think we have seen pretty good strength in both QOQ and YOY for both those. So just want to understand what's happening there, any specific products or anything you would like to. I'm just looking at the presentation, but it talks about Delta, but if you can give us some granular details on both these markets, please.
Sure, I'd be happy to address that. So again, this is Brendan. So I'll take Europe first. And if we look at Europe, overall, our respiratory portfolio is doing well across all of the markets. So our brands there, Ryaltris, we continue to launch through our partner Menarini, and of course we have it in the UK ourselves. That continues to be well accepted across all of Europe. As I mentioned, our respiratory portfolio with products like Salmex and Asmenex continues to gain scale. And we've also done a very good job with our base generic business as far as gaining volume there. So that's really fueling the European growth. As we look at the rest of the world, Malaysia and the Philippines are doing well. Brazil, our respiratory portfolio continues to be strong in Brazil. We're seeing strong secondary sales in Mexico, and our Russian business has been resilient also. Had an early cough cold season in this year in the third quarter, which helped with Russia as well. So across all the segments, whether it's rest of the world or Europe, we're seeing strong growth, and we expect that to continue.
So Brendan, nothing in terms of one-offs, right, other than the flu season, which could be different. But otherwise, these are levels on which we can show sequential growth, we think.
Yeah, not really one-offs. I mean, if you look at our business, it's been strong in all those markets across all products. I think one of the things that we'll point out is the growth of Ryaltris, right? It's doing really well in Australia. It's doing really well in South Africa. It's doing really, really well in Russia and the Czech Republic. So we continue to see the acceptance of Ryaltris, which that will, you know, fuel the growth going forward also. So not really one-off opportunities, more just kind of growth in our base business and new product launches.
helpful. Just second question on employee costs. Historically, I always remember Q2 to be the strongest one, and then Q3 comes off. But we have grown like even on the Q2 base. So just want to understand, are we now making the employee wage provisions even through the year, or how should we look at that?
Basically, we phased it out between Q2 and Q3. So that's why the Q3 also looks a little higher. Q4 will be lower. And also, just to, Shyam, just to tell you, there are, you know, it looks a little higher this year for two, three reasons. One is obviously this phasing that came in. Also, the overall, you know, especially outside, the currency impact is also there, right? When you translate to rupee, the overall thing has gone up by 10%. So that's another reason why it is higher. So these are two, three reasons why it looks higher than last year. And also, obviously, the increments would have happened in the second quarter. So,
helpful, Mani. Last question, just want to get the CAPEX numbers again. We have done 440 for 9 months, and we are guiding for another 200, 250 for the fourth quarter. Where is this generally going towards?
So this will be all, in a way, you know, on a yearly basis, we've always been spending much higher than that also. So, you know, routine capex, some lines that we put, essential lines that we require for some respiratory products, all those that come in. So those are the reasons why.
Also, yeah. I think GLS gets consolidated, so their capex also.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So just one clarification, Rajul. So this was a 70 crore brand, right? So how come you had around 140 crore of inventories lying in the channel?
No, it's not just that alone, inventory or anything. It's also to do with the transaction cost. It's got to do with people we, you know, sort of ex-gratia to people. So it's multiple costs that is there in that, yeah.
I mean, the reason I'm asking is, I mean, it's a very big number for a 70 crore brand, you know. So color, yeah. A bit more color would be helpful.
So the color that I'm telling you is that basically there is a banker's cost, there will be employee cost. Well, other in terms of what we said about inventory, etc., the expiry. So all that put together, this is how the cost has come together, yeah.
Okay, so but can you share how many maybe employees have been laid off or transferred to JB Chemicals?
Sorry, we got about 314 crores here.
No, how many employees were promoting this brand?
We got about 50 to 60 employees we transferred, yeah.
50 to 60, okay, perfect. Okay. Secondly, see, in your presentation, you have mentioned some market share details for Ryaltris, I think 30% in Korea, 15% in Australia, and so on. So just to, you know, for my understanding, what do you exactly mean by that? So you compare against which standard of care treatment over here?
So typically, we take the allergic rhinitis market, okay, for that specific market, right? So a lot of these market shares are computed basis the allergic rhinitis market.
Right. Okay. But so that means, I mean, the standard of care might be different. I mean, like in some markets, it could be maybe a, you know, it may not be a combination product. So will it be fair to understand you have taken the rhinitis market?
Sure.
That particular country?
Yeah. So, Kunal, basically, for example, in South Africa, it's the overall allergic rhinitis market where we have 15% share, and in Korea it's particularly the combination market in the space because it's just launched. So it's clear, I mean, its first direct competitor is of course the other combination product. So if you take the Korea market, it's the share is essentially across the combination therapy for rhinitis.
Okay, I'll take this offline. And just one last one. So Monroe, I think you spent around 130 crores in the quarter. So, I mean, this is a fairly new plant and the number seems, you know, fairly high for one quarter. So maybe can you just share a bit more the kind of improvements that you're doing here?
I think Monroe, we are pretty much done with our remediation effort, right? Q4, it will come to an end, right? And I think we're hoping to start manufacturing, right, late Q4, early Q1, right, of next year. So I think, you know, the remediation effort is a, it's a cumulative impact, right, of all the work that we've done so far. And we've been working on the site for a long time. So, I mean, we've not been producing product for the last 18 months in Monroe, right? Just keep that in mind. And now we are almost done with the remediation work. So hopefully from Q1, we'll start, you know, early Q1, end Q4, we'll start manufacturing batches again.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agrawal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my side. One, ex the remediation expenses, what would be the per annum operational cost for Monroe currently?
So it will be roughly about $25 million a year. That will be the normal cost of running the facility, yeah.
$25 million, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The second is, I mean, just to get a sense on the U.S. business, right, roughly about 3,000 crores of revenue, assuming a large proportion of your generic R&D gets spent to the U.S., almost 17 to 18% of that revenue is R&D spends. And at the same time, we've got Goa, Baddi, and Monroe under FD action. So how should we look at it in terms of your capital allocation, whether it's on the operational front or on the capital front going forward? And I mean, typically, do we expect this business to continue being a $100 million odd business and it stays there? Just some flavor on this would be helpful.
So I think, you know, there are a couple of things here, right? One is, you know, we think Q4, the remediation will be across Monroe, Goa, and Baddi, right? But after that, from Q1 onwards, right, the remediation cost will come down significantly because Monroe will be done, and then the other sites also will be very insignificant, right, from an overall perspective. So I think the bulk of the remediation work is in Q3 and Q4, right, which is what we've taken up. The second point is talking about your US, the US business. See, we have some very exciting products which we're working on, right? Like Flovent, we've got another respiratory product getting filed this year. We've got a couple of CGT products we've just filed, which is in the drug device combination space. So I think the portfolio looks good, right? If you see beyond FY24, right? While Brendan guided to 24 being, you know, mid-single digit, right? I think beyond 24, from 25 onwards, a lot of these products will start kicking in, right? And then if you see the outer years, we have some exclusive products where we've done some settlements, right, where we have the sole 180-day exclusivity, right, on almost three such opportunities, right, from, I think, 26, 27, 28, right? So I think the portfolio looks strong in the as we go forward, right, both in terms of what we've filed and what we are working on filing, right, in the next 12 months for the U.S. So I think, and then, of course, Monroe, if Monroe starts kicking in second half of next year in terms of commercial sales, right, next financial year, then that will also add to the, you know, give us an injectable site, and that will further drive our U.S. portfolio forward. So there is a very clear path that we are working towards, right, for the U.S. business, which we are building on, right, as every quarter goes by.
Okay. Deanna, just one last question. GLS cash flows would largely be ring-fenced to for GLS growth aspirations, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in a way, it's a listed public company, so are we. Everything is at arm's length, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. First clarification on this Monroe. So you're expecting exhibit batches to start from Q1. Would this, currently I understand it's an OAI, so would this require an inspection or the remediation actions are good enough and you expect FDA to clear it?
No, Prakash, all we are saying is we are starting commercial manufacturing and manufacturing from Q1, right? Obviously, FDA will come in, we believe, and re-inspect the facilities, right? So that's part of the expectation.
Okay. But do you have a date or it's post-remediation? What is the process? I'm just trying to understand. Post full remediation, you will invite them?
I mean, Prakash, we can't comment on that specifically, right? I mean, all we're saying is we expect an FDA inspection, right? And the process of remediation is underway as we speak.
Okay. And just a commentary on your R&D split. I'm sorry if you've already said there's another call. So what is the current R&D split between GX and innovation?
So GX is, I mean, innovation is about 4% odd. GX is 6%. So we have guided to about 10% for the full year. So that's how the split is.
And how does this look for the next financial year?
Prakash, it may trend a bit lower by about 0.5% or so.
So innovation, Prakash, because of Ichnos, right, will come off quite significantly, okay, next year, right? I mean, as we've said, Ichnos, the spend base will come to $60 million from current $80-$85 million in that ballpark. So there is a significant drop on innovation spend next year on account of cutback in Ichnos spend. And I think the overall R&D spend will trend at around 8-odd%, 8-8.5% for the full year for next year. There's a significant drop coming out in the total R&D spend also.
Okay, but largely GX remains similar. The innovation comes down by almost a quarter.
Correct, that's right. Okay. Savings are coming out of innovation cuts.
And what about the monetization or hive-off plan? I mean, we always believe that, okay, we are at the fag end of monetizing one of the large assets. Is that plan still on, or what is the plan B for this?
So very clearly, right, I mean, the way I see it is FY24, we have four strong innovative assets, right? Three with Ichnos, right? 1342, 1442, 2001. All these three should get to a POC by end of FY24, right? And then you got the HPK one, right, which is doing really well, right? And which also will get to a POC, right, in FY24. So FY24 is a very critical year for the innovation work that we're doing at Glenmark. And even if two out of four, we get good POC, that we think will be transformational. And obviously, the path is then to partner out and monetize it and do all that, right, which is what we're working on even as we speak.
Okay, perfect. And what is the dollar debt today?
Sorry?
The dollar gross debt and net debt?
So in gross debt, the dollar will be about $440 million, okay, plus some rupee loans. And the net debt would be lower by about $100 million in the currency part of it, yeah.
$100 million currency you have?
Yeah. Foreign currency, yeah.
Okay, and the divestment, which are largely rupee-led, you would have...
Yeah, rupee-led only.
I think you would have knocked off some of the rupee debt?
So if you look at it, obviously, net debt is lower by 100 crores. So to that extent, some rupee debt would be lower, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Mohit sir, on the staff cost, I think the last couple of years we had done a pretty solid job on controlling the staff expense increase. And this year seems to be a bit of an outlier. Now, barring the currency, is there anything which has changed and how should we look at this, staff cost as well as the other expenses on a going forward basis?
So let me address the other expenses first. So other expenses, we are pretty much at about 26% or so, I mean, give and take a few percentage here and there as quarter-wise. So there we are not too much worse off, you know, if you really ask me, Nitin. Last year, if you look at it, first quarter was a COVID quarter. Till July, we had COVID and all that. So this year, it is not there. Also, the other issue that you look at this year is because, you know, outside India, when you translate to rupees, there is a rupee depreciation of 10%. So that's also looks a little on the higher side. So that's why these are there. Next year, when you go to a full year, it will correct itself. So I think other expenses, I don't see it as a, you know, broadly where we are. In terms of the staff cost, basically, again, as I told, the second and the third quarter looks a little higher because of the phasing of the bonuses. Also, outside India, again, there is a, you know, when you translate, there is a good 10% increase in the overall cost, you know, because of the currency. Q4, it should correct itself. So full year, we look at it at about 21% against 20 last year. There's a 1% higher, which are making up in other areas.
Sir, on going forward, staff costs about 20-21%, other expenses 26%. You don't see much opportunity in sort of reducing these percentages to say?
Maybe there'll be some opportunities. Yeah, you could see it 1% lower as we go along. So that will add to the improvement in the EBITDA. Okay, at least 1%, which is what we did. Like other expenses used to be 29, you know, we brought it to 26. Staff costs will definitely get it lower by percent as we go.
And secondly, for the quarter, what was our mark-to-market impact of the currency on the loans?
It would be about 1 rupee what it moved, you know, from 81.47 to around 82. So it'll be about 35 to 40 crores. Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't meaningful. And sir, on the working capital, looking beyond Q4, how should we look at working capital now? I mean, we've had some higher inventory working capital over the last few quarters. Do we see opportunities to bring it down further? How are you looking at the working capital fund going forward?
So, Nitin, actually, it's more of a commercial call, okay, as of now we speak. Obviously, you know, with our customer requirements being higher, especially from our India sites where, you know, we have to work on remediation, etc. So, obviously, the requirements of inventory have gone up. So, I think for a couple of quarters, we'll see the inventory levels higher. So, after that, it will kind of come off. You know, it's been in the first part of the year, there were more in terms of the, you know, situation in China, etc. That is why we had higher inventory. I thought it would come down, but because of these, we need to keep it up. But I think it is worth it, Nitin, because it helps us to grow our business better.
And lastly, on the tax rate, any thoughts on the tax rate on a going forward basis?
So, as you see, during the last three quarters, it has come down. So, I think going forward, you'll see the... There are two things. One, you will look at the effective tax rate, which I think should go lower than, you know, should be about in the between 33-34% or so next year. And cash tax is anyway, you know, at about 30% only. India is much lower, but overseas because of the spends in Iconos, which as we see it come lower and lower, both the ETR as well as the cash tax is lower.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Charul Agarwal from Bank of America. Please go ahead. Charul, your line is on the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. Please proceed.
Hi. So thank you for taking my question. I wanted to understand a bit more about the U.S. business outperformance this quarter. What was driving it? Does it include any benefits from some supply disruptions or seasonality benefit? What is driving the outperformance here?
So the performance in the U.S. business this quarter is really due to just increases in volume and share gains in our base business. I think we're doing a better job executing in the market. There have been some disruptions in the U.S. market that we've been able to take advantage of, which overall is helping with the recovery and the growth. So there's, as well as some new product launches. So there's nothing really kind of a one-time outstanding issue that led to the performance. It's just kind of better execution and growth on the base business.
Thank you. That's all for me.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just to know the overall real estate sales for the quarter, now that we are, you know, kind of commercializing 23 markets, it should be some ballpark number.
So this year, we are trending at around 20-25 million for the full year, right, for the current year. I mean, realtors, our view is, you know, over a 4-5 year time frame, right, to peak sales, we'll get to about 100-150 million, right, in revenues. So this year is trending at around 20-25 million, primarily driven heavily by Europe and rest of the world markets.
The U.S. is not yet, I mean, it's just launched, so not a meaningful contribution for this company, right?
The U.S., go ahead.
Yeah, so in the U.S., Realtors was just launched at the end of last calendar year, and they're working through, you know, insurance and payer coverage. So there's really not a lot of Realtor sales in this quarter, and it probably we won't see Realtor sales start to pick up in the U.S. till the second half of this calendar year.
Oh, okay, if I heard correct, it would be expected to pick up second half of calendar year, right?
That's right, yes.
And secondly, how many INRs have been filed from Monroe till date?
So we don't have the exact number, but my guess is it's around 5-6, right, which are pending right now.
With these remediation measures, would you have to kind of revalidate these products and then resubmit, or what's the process?
Unfortunately, I cannot get into that level of detail, right? But we are working through the remediation, right? And, you know, we're hoping to bring some of these products to the market.
Did that require a significant amount of infrastructure change? Because, I mean, considering the amount that has been spent at Monroe.
I mean, the amount is purely consultant cost, okay, bringing in third-party consultants to remediate the site. It is pretty standard, I mean, for all companies that go through remediation, right, especially, you know, the amount of remediation that we've done at Monroe is pretty standard, right? It's not extraordinary.
Okay, that's it from us. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Saiyan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just one follow-up, Glenn, on India business, these divestments that you've been doing, are we done with it, or you think there would be more divestment that you are sort of considering the non-core brands?
We have no more plans, Saiyan. I mean, we are pretty much done with it right at this point. But again, just keep in mind, look, this is all being done in order to drive off, a lot of that capital is being redeployed into driving our front-end brand. So India growth will continue to remain strong, right, even going forward, right, despite these divestments. They are insignificant. I mean, if you see the total divestments, we are talking of, you know, around 150 crores on a almost a 3,500-4,000 crore business, right? And that is just being done to redeploy capital into our front-end portfolios.
Okay. And the other one on Iconos, you mentioned, you know, the proof of concept by end of 24. There seems to be some delay, you know, in the timelines here. So if you can, you know, clarify what's happening and any more granular detail in terms of quarter that we can expect.
So I think 1342 should come in Q1, 1442 maybe Q2, Q3, and, you know, 2001 in Q4.
Okay. So, I mean, now with COVID gone, things are on track, you think, I mean, in terms of getting or meeting these timelines?
Yeah, I think so, Shayan. I mean, there are always hiccups in drug development, right? It's not a linear path, right? So, there are, you know, 1342, there are some delays, really, but we think by Q1, we'll have visibility.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Vikas Sharda from NT Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Two questions. One regarding your net debt. The medium-term guidance is zero net debt by FY26, but if you were to give any milestones, say, by the end of this year in FY24, so that will be helpful. And secondly, for this Razil transition, that 150 crore of transaction cost, I mean, the banker and the employee cost and the inventory, the three main items, if you could break it up, will be helpful.
So, so Vikas, the net debt, obviously, we have guided to zero net debt by 26. So, I think as we go along quarter-wise, you will see it come lower, you know. I mean, in the next quarter also, it will come a little lower, yeah. I mean, it would not be appropriate to start breaking up everything into this, you know. So, I have given an overall what are the spends. So, obviously, all this put together is what it came to, yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
So, just on the US business, again, how are we looking at you know, the approval pipeline for the next 4 to 5 quarters?
So, I think, Nitin, it's the, you know, the portfolio is looking strong, okay. FY24, as Brendan said, you know, if we get to a mid-single digit, I think we'll be okay. But from there on, right, starting, I think, second half of FY24, we should see some good approvals coming through, right, for the U.S.
And for our respiratory filings, that Flovent is going to be a FY25 filing, if I remember the earlier guidance.
No, FY is calendar 23. End of calendar 23, right, is when we file, right? Launch is 25.
Okay, and the other respiratory assets is again looking to file in FY24 sometime.
Calendar 23. FY24. Yeah, FY24, correct.
And again, we're looking at FY25 launch even for that asset.
Correct.
So two large respiratory assets sometime in FY25. I mean, that's the expectation.
Correct.
And the CGTs that you talked about, Glenn, what kind of time frame would you look for those?
So one could get approved in second half of FY24. And that could be a meaningful product for us. And the other one, probably Q1 25, FY25.
Okay, so that's where I think your commentary around second half onwards is when some
exactly.
auditions can begin to come through.
Exactly. And Monroe, right, to add to that.
Right.
In second half.
And Glenn, so Monroe, how will it work? You will get up, have you informed the FDA to come visit, or it's going to do it at some point in time?
So we have a regular, we have constant updates to the FDA, right, on the remediation work that's going on. So I think that's the only visibility that we can give at this point.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Vora from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning. So if you look at, you know, the current quarter, in spite of high remediation costs and inventory loss and, you know, a lot of restructuring that have taken place, we are at an EBITDA run rate of close to 620 crores. And now that if we are looking at some sort of cleanup in Q4 as well, from Q1 and then moving forward, we are looking at, you know, US improving and contribution from Monroe. Do you think somewhere in the second half, this run rate of around 620 odd crores of EBITDA can move to 700 crores plus?
It should definitely move up, yeah. I mean,
so I think if you see next year, right, I mean, if we are able to grow sales, you know, 10-12%, you know, margin expansion because of the lower R&D spends, right, or, you know, margins going up substantially, right, I think that will clearly translate into higher EBITDAs, right? And hopefully starting from Q1, you should see that flow through coming, right, some of it, at least in terms of sales growth as well as margin expansions coming through.
From Q1 itself, can we be closer to that 680, 700 crores of run rate?
So I would not like to dwell on giving a number quarter-wise, but you are right saying next year, second half onwards, there will be a big, I mean, bigger improvement. That should be there. Yeah.
And therefore, by end of next year, what can be our net debt level?
It will definitely come down, yeah. I would not like to, because see, there are here and there uncertainties that come in. Instead of giving any number, all I can tell is we constantly will endeavor to bring it down, okay? And that's what we've been doing.
Okay. Cool. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi for his closing comments.
Thank you, moderator. We'll just read the disclaimer before we end the call. The information, statements and analysis describing the company or its affiliates' objectives, projections and estimates discussed during the call are forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, forecasts and assumptions that are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from these statements depending on economic conditions, government policies and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to this document and the comments discussed during the call and should not be considered as a substitute for exercise of recipient's own judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events or otherwise. With this, we end today's call. Big thank you to everyone for joining us today.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.